meeting to order. We need to amend our agenda and add public comment or public forum. Do we have anyone who wants to speak for public comment or public forum? All right, seeing none, that's not closed. We are going to take action on the minutes from July 20th, 2026, Water and Sewer Commission meeting. Do we happen to have any amendments or adjustments to make minutes? All right, do we have a motion to accept?
I'll make a motion to accept the minutes from the meeting of July 20th.
All right, a motion from Kathy. Do we have a second?
Second.
Motion from Kathy, second from Paige. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Financial reports. Morning or afternoon, Chair.
Good afternoon. This will be our report for the month of July. Of course, that's the first month of our fiscal year. 1 month divided by 12, and we 8% is our benchmark for our actuals versus budget. And in the water fund, relative to that benchmark, revenues are at 8%, expenses at 9%. And in the sewer fund, revenues are at 9%, while expenses are at 7%. Looking at the capital outlay for water and sewer, they are 1% and 3% of budget, respectively. The chart that I've given you here is not the usual chart, but we've taken the opportunity to give you sort of an historical trend of capital investment for water and sewer, dating back to FY16, and plotting that through the end of FY26. As you can see, we continue to make more and increasingly more investments in our water and sewer funds. That combined total for FY26 is a little over $34 million, about $34.5 million. And you can see in FY16 it was under $4 million. Of that total for FY26, about $19 million was related to the solids handling project at the pollution control facility, but that still leaves another $16 million that was invested in other areas. So from a staff level, you know, we're proud of the fact that these are by and large proactive investments in our system rather than reactive investments. They're guided by our master plans, they're budgeted in our capital project lists for water and sewer every year, and even though we have a hard time spending 100% of what we budget to spend from a capital perspective, this chart well illustrates that that investment continues to increase. For billed revenue and consumption, in the water fund, billed revenue in total was $2.1 million. Billed revenue year over year was up 13%. If you look at the revenue associated with consumption, it was up 10%, while water consumption itself was up 3%. In the sewer fund, billed revenue was $2.3 million. Billed revenue year over year was 26%. Revenue associated with consumption was up 32%, while sewer consumption itself was up 0.7%. I will pause to note here that I did look into those sewer numbers just because that's a big disparity between the billed amount for sewer versus the sewer consumption. I went back to sort of an average bill and compared it from July of last year to July of this year. And of course, over that time period, we've had two rate increases, one effective October 1st and a second effective July 1 of this year. And just looking at an average bill, the sewer portion only over that time period, we would expect a 28% increase. Now that's flat consumption, right? So here we are with 0.7% increase in consumption and the variables associated with actual billing versus just one average bill. And I think it's reasonable then the numbers that we are seeing here. The tables at the bottom of the page here are some additional trend analysis for water and sewer. We show the customers and the consumption in millions of gallons for FY16 compared to FY26. You can see, for example, that water customers at the end of FY26 have exceeded 38,000. That's a 22% increase over that 11-year time period. while water consumption has increased 32%. For sewer customers, we've crossed 27,000. It's a 21% increase since FY16, and sewer consumption has increased 34% over that time frame. This is why we need the capital investment, right? I like to put these charts in here. This is it's tracking a change in average consumption for water and sewer, and they do it by indexing that average consumption to the, a baseline from 2016. So from that 2016 starting point, what has consumption done on an average basis per customer type? And the chart shows you that leading the way here in terms of increasing consumption per customer are those industrial customers. So at the end of FY26, industrial customers are using 136% of the water they used in FY16. Commercial customers, 126% of the water they used in FY16. Residential customers, 96%. So it's a little bit less, but you can see from that line chart there, it's just kind of floated around that baseline. Some years a little bit higher, some years a little bit lower, but tracking pretty steady. And then for sewer consumption, it's pretty similar. Industrial customers in FY26 using 145% of the baseline from 2016. Commercial customers using 119%, residential customers 103%. So it's interesting to track this, and I think this is the type of information that is useful to us as we get into future capital planning efforts and rate studies. We'll come back to this kind of data to help us do our analysis.
Got a quick question on that. Hmm? Maybe I do, if you can hear me. If we don't meter our sewage,
right,
it's tied to water usage.
Right.
And we still have people in town that are on septic, so we don't have a sewer bill.
Mm-hmm.
How is it that water can decrease residential and yet sewage usage increase?
So where we see sewage increasing, it would be a function of either more usage coming out of a main meter that is being charged both water and sewer, or less usage coming out of the irrigation meters that aren't being charged sewer.
Okay, all right, thank you.
So that was build revenue and consumption. We'll move on to access and impact fee revenues. We brought in $289,000 during the month of July. That's 13% of what we brought in total last fiscal year, and it's 12% of our budget for FY27. For year-to-date income, we did have positive net income for both water and sewer. For water, it was $456,000, or 5% of budget, and for sewer, it's $929,000, or 12% of budget. On our last page, we look at cash reserves. In the water department, between unrestricted and restricted funds, we have $31.4 million. For sewer, it's $30.8 million, a combined $62.3 million. And I will point out, I've got this note below the sewer chart that explains that our budgeted cash reserves for sewer does anticipate a restricted cash increase stemming from our anticipated sewer revenue bond issue. So, you know, that line is just a straight line projection moving from our starting point in the fiscal year to our projected ending point for the fiscal year. Our actuals will be something less than that and probably decreasing until we actually issue the sewer debt. I've got that little explainer there. Not shown here, but our 12-month rolling average for purchased water unaccounted for was 10%. in July. That ticks up from the 9% that we've been at for the last several months. I think it's worth noting that we bill in arrears, which means that billed consumption will always lag purchased water consumption from Beaver Water District. And our purchased water in July was 29% higher than it was in June. So our pattern is to see the higher purchased water unaccounted for figures during the summer months, and then sort of make that up as we get into the fall and winter months. That concludes my report for the month of July.
Any questions for Mr. Smith?
Thank you.
All right, thank you, Jared.
Thank you.
Brian, engineering reports.
Good afternoon. We'll start out with our solids handling project. Still a little bit under budget and behind our original schedule. Schedule of completion is looking like January of 2027, give or take. Kind of in this photo, you can see a lot of the aerial work, a lot of the cable trays, overhead conveyance systems, the structure for that. There's a lot of workers in there just putting together HVAC and plumbing, and a lot of those building systems are ongoing. And here we've got progress on the boiler pumps and piping have been installed, and also they were actively pouring concrete last week on some of the pertinences around the building. Here they're about to pour for their septic receiving station outside of the solids building. So good progress on solids handling. Our big project, RPCF improvements. Just kind of an overview of the schedule we're looking at. We've got some submittal dates coming up and some deliverables that we're looking at. And so basically, there's two packages to this job. The first package is going to be the equalization and piping. And that package is going to be submitted to ADEQ in August. And we're anticipating a January 2027 approval on that to begin that package one in the spring of 27. Package two, which we're about 20 to 30% drawings currently, those will be submitted for our review in September, and those will go to ADEQ on around March of next year, and so we'll be starting that phase likely late summer, early fall of 2027. So making good progress. We're looking at all the different screening technologies and looking at site layouts, orientations, and we did receive some initial cost estimates last Friday after I'd put this together. And it's lining up pretty well with our budget. Doesn't look like we're going to have a whole lot left over, but I think if we go through some value engineering processes, we will be able to hit our $118 million budget for this project. So that's good news. And I'll have more details on that after we kind of vet out some of these figures we've been getting from across the nation. So far, just an update on the Chateau sewer main construction. We've got most of the vast majority of the pipe in the ground. We've got a couple of hundred feet left to lay and then go back and pour some manholes. The contractor's done a lot of the cleanup in the residential subdivisions downstream. A lot of those backyards have been resodded, refenced. There's still a lot of cleanup work to do. I was out there last week, and really the biggest thing was just dealing with all the heat and the wind and the dust. The contractor was really trying to minimize driving on that surface, because, you know, we could wet it down, but an hour later it would just be back to the dust bowl. So this weather's been, it's been good, and the fact that we haven't had any rain delays, but it's just been really difficult working in the dust and the heat out there. But those guys are making good progress out there. And if you recall, we've been working a while on getting these our flow monitoring systems put in for the sanitary sewer. Currently, we have 13 of these flow monitors in the system, and they've been calibrated, and we're able to log in online and look at these flows. And so these sensors have, the flow monitoring system actually has three sensors. There's a radar that measures velocity, there's an ultrasonic sensor that measures the level, and if the level goes above the sensor, then we've also have a pressure sensor calculate the depth inside the manhole, and that's beneficial for recognizing when we have surcharges or possible overflows. And so, you know, we kind of strategically place these in the system where we suspect there may be issues. And so here in a couple of weeks, we're going to get some training on these, and they'll show us how to set up alarms so that if we do have a surcharge or a possible overflow, you know, it'll send us an alarm or an email and let us know to go check that location and see what happens. So we've got 13 of 14 installed. I think we're still waiting on some cables for one of those locations. But so far, they seem to be working well. You can see this is over a number of days, and you can kind of see that daily diurnal flow cycle of nighttime and daytime flows, and so they appear to be working pretty well. And we can log in from anywhere and look at this data. And one thing we have yet to do is link this up with some of the rainfall data that we have through our SCADA systems, and so that rainfall data can be overlaid with the sewer flow data. So that's really important to see how the sewer system reacts to different intensities of rainfall. And so we'll be collecting this data. Next time we go and update our sewer master plan, we'll have a lot of valuable stuff to give them, and be really helpful in our day-to-day operations too. Just some other significant events of engineering. Stephen Ponder is one of our senior engineers. He'll be retiring at the end of this year after more than 25 years of service. And so there was an opportunity to do some kind of minor reorganization of the engineering team. And so we had a project manager position. That position was filled by Travis Tripodi. Travis has been our engineering inspection supervisor. And so, you know, our hope is that, you know, between myself and Travis and Aaron and Stephen, we all kind of co-manage some of these projects. And a lot of times the developers are the squeaky wheels, and they get loaded by things. And so we hope that a dedicated project manager position for these infrastructure projects kind of give more of a focus and be able to keep some of these projects on track. So we're excited for Travis to be in that position, and we'll be backfilling his the inspection position soon.
Are you going to be hiring another engineer?
We do not plan to backfill Stephen's position. The project manager position will be the backfill for that. Now, during the meantime, Aaron's going to take a lot of the responsibilities for the developer plan review that Stephen was doing. Water use has been a big topic, especially here in the last week. I'm sure we've seen on the news and all over social media about Benton, Washington Water Authority. You know, we've had extremely hot and dry conditions. And so we're seeing about 18 to 19 MGD, million gallons a day. At least that's what we're purchasing from Beaver currently. And that's about an all-time high. I think 2 years ago, we had one or two days where we had we saw 19 MGD. And so I know Brent's been fielding some calls since it's been in the news about, does Rogers have enough water? Does Bentonville have enough water? And, when Benton, Washington Water Authority says, hey, we need to conserve water, people think, well, that's all of Benton, Washington County. They don't realize that we're served by Beaver Water District. But we have coordinated with Beaver. They're pumping us a lot of water. They're pumping all the cities a lot of water. I think they were running over 100 MGD, but I believe that their capacity is around 140, and so they've got capacity remaining. We can comfortably pump up to 26 MGD, and so we've got capacity to spare right now, and we're planning on more. So no issues with the high demands.
Theoretically, you can go ahead.
We can comfortably go up to 26 MGD. If we need to, we can pump more. Get too much more than 26 million gallons a day. We see a lot of velocity in our transmission mains, and it's not good on the pumps or the pipes to pump that much for very long. But for a couple of days, we do have the ability to pump more than 30 if we need to. Project status, not a whole lot's changed on this. We do have that Pea Ridge interconnection agreement approved and ready to go to City Council, and we've sent that to Pea Ridge as well. So that, if that gets through pretty quickly, I know that could help Benton, Washington as well. We have kicked off the design with WER Architects on our Oak Street City campus and on the field operations facility out there on Oak Street, and so that is under design. And then we're setting up a pre-construction meeting for the SCADA redeployment and the fiber loop going in and out of the plant, along with a lot of other projects in design and construction phases. Just an overview of our development plans, familiar patterns there, and then our total plans reviewed. I believe we're at 156 sets of plans, so that's right up there with some of the max totals that we've seen in the last few months. So staying busy on that side. And with that, I'll be happy to answer any questions.
If Pea Ridge does come online with us, have you decided what the trigger would be to start rationing or conserving water?
If what the one thing that's in the agreement is if both water systems are asked to conserve water by our suppliers, then there's no obligation by one system or another to open that meter and turn it on. If we're able to, and we have additional capacity, we will serve them. But if we're both in trouble, that valve stays closed.
Has there been any political will or pressure to think about a conservation plan at this point? To have or think about a water conservation plan at this point?
For us?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I haven't heard anything.
Okay.
We're in good shape. It's just there's a lot of miscommunication out there. We want to stress that we're in good shape.
Yeah. Do you guys have any questions? Mm.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Todd.
The DMR summary, everything looks good. You'll see in the loading section that everything looked good on loading as well. So we're steadily increasing usage But it's from flow growth. And I think that's probably actual growth based on, you know, the dry weather flows that we're seeing right now. You can see we had a fairly dry month and our flows have actually increased. So our loading is, you know, has realistically increased, continues to basically follow what our master plan projected. But while we don't have a lot of room to be messing around, we have what we need to get the job done. As long as we're keeping up with growth, we're doing well. You can see Amber's keeping up with this. And actually, after this was submitted, she included an updated pumping schedule on this. If you guys are interested in that or see something that's missing that you're worried about, get with me and I'll get you that updated pumping schedule. But I didn't think that was necessary to give you guys a full update on just the pumping that she got. But she did get that. So if you are curious, I'll be happy to get that for you. The industrial pretreatment, I think, you know, this is really where we've learned our key is at. You know, our heavy metals and all that, we did our testing and no problems came up there. But, you know, keeping this surcharge threshold in mind, it's, you know, this is a lower month than we've seen. I think our industrial partners are figuring out that they're much better off to do that. I thought it was interesting to see that our flows for industrial were significantly higher. I think, you know, maybe a lot of that growth may have happened before we addressed our surcharges, but we'll see if that growth continues like that. Significant events, our solids handling project, influent, and SCADA redeployment. So having three projects that impacts us keeps us pretty busy, just keeping up with those and reviewing all the submittals and making all the meetings and looking at all the equipment and making sure we're compatible with our existing that we're keeping. Speaking of which, we did have a vendor bring by a screening for a display unit. I think that's between that and a trip we took down to Little Rock to review some. The previous month has got us narrowed down on our screening equipment that we're looking at on our expansion project. Average daily flow of 9.7 for a really dry month is, you know, if you look at my previous projections of 9, 0.7, you know, that's a reasonable growth for the year. So next month I will probably update my average daily flow to 9.7. You know, we only had less than an inch of rain for over 6 events for the entire month. So not a lot of rain influence there. So 9.7 is probably our real dry weather flow that we're treating. Because our operations guys have done a good job taking care of any major inflows. So it's a good point to look at our CBOD. We did have a high day here towards the end of the month, but overall TSS and phosphorus and ammonia is a little high, but we've been okay. The phosphorus is obviously low, so we can use most of our aeration to take care of our ammonia. If the phosphorus was also high, we'd probably be struggling with aeration. But since we only have one, we're doing okay. So that's what I have. Any questions for me?
Any questions for Tyler?
No.
Thank you.
Thank you.
At our July meeting, the commission approved the selection of Stevens Inc. to provide underwriting services for our upcoming revenue bond issues. Since that time, we've been working with Kevin Fott over at Stevens to outline the terms of the agreement, and that is presented here for your consideration. The letter defines the scope of services. It defines the customary deliverables to be provided throughout the process. It includes in here some responsibilities of the commission. I'll read through those. The commission agrees to provide Stevens with information reasonably requested, to designate representatives authorized to act on behalf of the commission, to cooperate with financing participants throughout the process, and to review financing documents in a timely manner. It also defines the term as to remain in effect through June 30th of 2030. That is the last day of the fiscal year for which the City Council has approved the scheduled rate increases. It also allows us to have plenty of time to complete the debt issues that we expect during this time period. Finally, the letter also includes a tiered fee schedule, which you see here. So this is in terms of the fee per $1,000 of principal amount. You can see that the fee decreases as the principal amount increases. So for example, if we were looking at an initial debt issue of $60 million from the sewer fund, we'd be looking at $7.25 per $1,000 of principal. If you calculate that out, that comes to $435,000, which is in line with our budgeted projection for these services. It's also very competitive given the comps provided to us by Stevens for the recent projects they've been involved in. Should the commission approve this engagement letter, it will then go to the City Council for their approval. And so that means that our chair would not sign this agreement and execute it tonight, but that we would wait for council to make their own approval. We've got that penciled in for their meeting on September 22nd. Therefore, staff recommends approval of the engagement letter with Stevens, Inc., such approval to be subject to receiving approval of the engagement by the Rogers City Council, with the chairman of the Rogers Waterworks and Sewer Commission being authorized to sign the engagement letter on behalf of the commission after approval of the engagement by the Rogers City Council.
All right. We have a letter of engagement. We have a motion to approve or accept, what would be the appropriate terminology?
I think on our rules of procedure, Madam Chairman, the commissioner wanted to approve that, say something to the effect of, I move to approve this item as presented.
Okay.
As presented will be the magic language, it'll get the whole red box into it.
Okay. Make a motion to approve as presented.
Thank you, Kathy. Do we happen to have a second?
Second.
A motion by Kathy and a second by Paige to approve this engagement letter as presented. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed?
Also, at our July meeting, the commission approved the selection of Friday, Eldridge, and Clark to provide bond counsel services for our upcoming revenue bond issues. Staff have worked with Ryan Bowman to prepare the letter of engagement for these services. Ryan is here today, having made the trip from Little Rock, and he'll be presenting our next agenda item for us. But similar to the engagement letter for the underwriter, this one also outlines the scope of services and the deliverables that we can expect. It does have the same term extending through June 30th. Of 2030, and it also includes a tiered fee structure, which you see on this page here. We have a flat rate for the first $10 million in principal amount of the bonds, and then as the bonds increase, as the principal amount gets higher, there's an incremental fee And you can see from that schedule there that incremental fee does decrease as the amount of principal increases. So for example, using that $60 million sewer revenue bond as our sort of case study, if we did that, it would come to about $92,000 in fees. And like the underwriting fees, this is in line with our budgeted projection, and it's also comparable to what the Friday firm has charged clients like us issuing similar amounts of bonds in recent years. This is the proposed agreement, and staff recommends approval of the engagement agreement with Friday Eldridge and Clark, LLP. Such approval to be subject to receiving approval of the engagement by the Rogers City Council, with the chairman of the Rogers Water Works and Sewer Commission being authorized to sign the engagement letter on behalf of the commission upon approval of the engagement by the Rogers City Council.
We have a motion to approve as presented by Jared, this letter of engagement with Friday Firm for Bond Council Services.
Make a motion to approve as presented.
Second.
Motion by Derek, a second by Kathy. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Bellman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members of the Commission, as was mentioned, my name is Ryan Bowman with Roddy Ocean Clark. We have offices in both Little Rock and in Rogers, but I'm located in our Little Rock office, as all of our bond attorneys are. First of all, I just want to say thank you for the opportunity to work with you on these financings. Our firm has a long relationship with the commission and with the utility, and we very much value that relationship, and so we thank you for the opportunity to work with you again. The resolution that you have before you today really does two things. First, it recommends to the Rogers City Council the issuance of up to $70 million in sewer revenue bonds, bonds secured solely by revenues of the city's sewer system. Under Arkansas law, the bonds have to be issued through the city, and so the City Council has to be the issuer of the bonds, and they actually adopt the ordinance authorizing the bonds to be issued. So it recommends to the council the issuance of those sewer revenue bonds, the first series of bonds that we would issue in the coming year for your sewer project. And then secondly, it recommends the adoption of any resolutions and ordinances necessary to issue those bonds. So the City Council would be asked to approve first a resolution of intent, what's routinely called a reimbursement resolution. They'd be asked to do that at their September 22nd meeting. What that would do is it would allow the commission and the utility to go ahead and start using sewer revenues to begin paying for costs of the project. And then once the bonds are issued, you would be allowed to be reimbursed for those costs from proceeds of the bonds. That is an IRS requirement that you do that. And once that resolution is adopted on September the 22nd, you can go back 60 days. So anything that you incurred in connection with the project, roughly the end of July moving forward, you could reimburse yourself for those costs. And then the final action of the council, once we actually offer the bonds and we're ready to bond close, the council would be asked to hold a public hearing and adopt an ordinance actually authorizing the bonds. And in that ordinance, it would contain the terms with respect to the bonds, things like the interest rate, the maturity, the price that's going to be paid to Stevens as the underwriter. So the resolution before you today really does those two things, and I'd be happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Do we have any questions for Mr. Bowman?
No.
Do we happen to have a motion to approve the resolutions 26-22 approving the issuance of sewer revenue bonds?
Motion to approve resolution number 2622 is presented.
Motion to Paige, do we have a second?
Second.
Second by Kathy. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? All right, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Okay, resolution 2623 is to authorize the purchase of plan review software and appropriating funds and waiving competitive bidding and for other purposes. As you're aware, we've been using CityWorks software for a number of years now. Along with that was a plan review component called Highland OnBase that we've been using. And we were informed earlier this year that there would be that the version of software that we were utilizing was going to be basically sunset, and we would be forced to upgrade to a newer version at a substantial cost. We took that opportunity to look at some alternative forms of software, and the staff with City Planning and Rogers Water Utility, we demoed this DigiPlan software and liked its functionality a little bit better. And the cost is about the same. It's very similar to what we would have been paying for Highland OnBase had we upgraded and continued to pay those fees. And so this resolution will waive that competitive bid process and authorize us to, in partnership with the city, purchase this DigiPlan software for a cost of $87,750 over the next 3 years, and also reimburse a portion of the cost for Timmons Group to implement this software across the utility and the city of Rogers, an additional cost of $7,500. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Do you have any questions for Brian? Do we happen to have a motion for resolution 2623 authorizing the purchase of and review software?
I'll make a motion to approve resolution number 26-23.
Motion by Kathy. Do we have a second?
Second.
Second by Derek. All those in favor of approving resolution 2623 authorizing purchase and review software, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? All right. Motion passes.
Thank you.
Do we have any other business that needs to be brought before the commission? Any comments by the commissioners? We have a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.